I remember the first time we met. I was living life with a deep regret. I remember well that sacred place where I received your precious gift of grace. The gift of grace is free to all who choose to come to the cross where the Father gave his only Son. Never understand why he loved a common man so much that he would die in our place. But I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. Ooh. Here I am alone with you again. You know I'm wounded by the burdens of my sin. I'm guilty and ashamed of my mistakes. But then you extend your endless gift of grace. The gift of grace is free to all who choose to come to the cross where the Father gave his only Son. I'll never understand why he loved a common man much that he would die in my place. But I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. The gift of grace is free to all who choose to come to the cross where the Father gave his only Son. I'll never understand why you loved a common man so much that you would die in my place. But I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. I'm so thankful for the gift of grace.
And how I think that because of our security in Christ, which is absolutely the truth, that sometimes we fail to think that we still need cleansing from time to time. And we do, church. Because in this world, we pick up a lot of stuff that comes into our closets, of our mind, of our heart. It sets up residence and it clogs up our fellowship with God. Some of us have been around longer than others in the earth. Some of us are younger, some of us are older. But all of us in here are old enough, except for maybe our teens, all of us are old enough to remember two different time periods, really. Even my generation, as young as I am, remembers a whole different world to what we are experiencing now. Do we ever think, and I'm just saying these things to lay a foundation of what we've allowed into our lives personally. Because things hit us personally, I realize that. And we try to justify our sin or our failures. We try to justify because of other causes in our lives, and that just don't hold water. We can't justify it. We're justified through Jesus. We can't justify our sins anymore. And did we ever think that we would be in a nation in America, some of us have been here long enough to realize, that we would be legally murdering babies, that we would be legally honoring same-sex marriage, that it was illegal to say prayer in school, where the sanctity of marriage and institution of marriage is now a foregone thought. It's just not important anymore. Marriage is not important anymore to most people because it's not a big deal. Because they're getting everything anyway free, because it hurts people financially to get married, and so we just lost the sanctity and the importance of what marriage is. We are the most incarcerated country in the world. You know that? We are the most incarcerated prisoners per capita of any nation in the world. We are the greediest nation by far in the world. We have allowed things to come into our lives, even as Christians. We've allowed them to attach itself to us personally. You know what this does? It disrupts our fellowship with God. There's nothing better than being clean, is there? And I know we touched on this a little bit last week. This is where God has me this week. There's no better feeling than to be out in the yard. I've used this example many times. You're out in the yard, you're mowing the grass. Nothing gets you nastier probably than working in the yard in the summertime, right? It's 90 degrees, you're sweaty, you smell like grass. You've been out there working for a couple hours. When you come in, your kid says, man, you stink. Good. It's supposed to stink. I've been working. And then you get in that shower, and that hot water begins to run, and it gets all that residue off, all that stench off, all that smell off, and you come out feeling soft and fluffy again and all clean. No greater feeling than that. I come out, and Melanie's like, there, my man. Yeah, baby. Plant one on me right there. Before, it's like, don't touch me. Good. The thing that women like sweaty men must be a myth, because Melanie doesn't like a sweaty man. So I have to get cleaned up or she'll hug me. I guess only from the gym walking out, it looks good. I don't know. So Melanie's come to the gym and watch me when I'm benching 350. I can bench 3 pounds and 50 ounces. What are y'all talking about? Anyway. There's nothing better than being clean, being pure, physically. Same way spiritually. There's nothing better than feeling clean on the inside. And you know the best thing ever for a human being to ever encounter is a clear conscience. There's nothing better than a clear conscience. Now, there's a lot of stuff we do in our lives. Now, I'm talking mainly to saints here this morning. This is more of a saint message. It'll reach the sinner's heart as well, but I'm talking to saints here. That are born again. That we allow things in our lives after we're saved to come into our lives, to get into our minds, and to draw us away from God. Whether it's our kids, our family life, our money problems, you know, things, the world, our work environment, wherever we're at, there's always the enemy there poking his head trying to draw us in to his lair. Always. And I'm going to tell you something. I want you to hear this. You are no match for the enemy. Apart from God's word. No match. Now, I'm not trying to glorify the devil. I'm trying to be real. Because the Bible says this. You know, and somebody asked me this question this week, and this may answer it for you too. Somebody asked me, they said, I thought the devil was in hell. You mean the devil's on the earth? He absolutely is on the earth. The Bible is clear. It says that the enemy is roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. There'll be a day the enemy will be put into eternal captivity. But for now, he is loose for a season, and he is roaming the earth. If you don't believe the devil's alive and well, turn on the news and see what's happening. He's alive and well and doing his work. And we are no match against that kind of power and wickedness apart from the Holy Ghost. And so we can't be like Samson, that we keep playing with fire, thinking we're not going to get burnt. I know how to do it without getting caught. I know how to do it without getting burnt. I know how to do it without getting weak. We will eventually give way to the enemy if we keep playing with him. That's why it's important that Christians guard their hearts and guard their minds and don't go certain places and don't do certain things, and they watch their behavior and they watch their conduct, because as we know, little sin turns into big sin, and then big sin turns into bigger sin. And as Christians, we're supposed to live our lives for the Lord. and honor God in all that we do. So it's time for us to have some spring cleaning inside. You may sit here and think, well, this message, and I kind of feel this already, but this ain't going to really reach me. If you're saying that, you're the one who needs to hear this. We go through our lives thinking, I'm good. Pastor, why are you preaching the choir this morning? It's a Sunday morning crowd. Why are you preaching the Sunday morning crowd like this? Because I see what's coming ahead in this earth. I feel and sense the movement that's happening, and I see the adversity that's going to attack. And I see the enemy trying to discourage the saints of God and draw them away from their foundation and pull them away even among church teaching and church services. We are seeing services filled with feel-good theology instead of breaking the yoke of bondage teaching. We're seeing feel good about yourself. No, I don't want to feel good about myself. I want to feel good about Jesus. And if I feel good about Jesus and I know I'm His and everything's all right, it doesn't matter what comes in this world, what attacks my life, what happens all around me. I know if I am in Jesus, I am safe, I am secure, I am whole, I am healed, I am complete, and I am right. That's what matters. And the enemy is trying to discourage the people of God of their own foundation of faith to stand on. We are lost without Jesus Christ. Period. The blood of Jesus is the only cleansing power that washes away our sin and that removes our transgressions and cleanseth of all unrighteousness. It's only His blood. Let's read in Psalms 51, and we'll go into the Word more as we read. This is probably the greatest, I would say, passage in this whole Bible of personal cleansing. This is written by David after his encounter with Bathsheba. And it's a passage of repentance unto the Lord. Verse 1, chapter 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto thy multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Let's stop and think about this a minute and expound on this. David is acknowledging his sin. We have gotten into a generation where we don't acknowledge anything anymore. It's everybody else's fault. We don't acknowledge why we're in trouble financially. We don't acknowledge why we're, sick and diseased if we're doing things we know are killing our body. We don't acknowledge our addictions. We don't acknowledge our parenting. We don't acknowledge our work ethic. We don't acknowledge our not coming to church or serving God the way we should. We don't acknowledge our not giving or serving God. We're in a generation of pushing the blame and blaming someone else. And until we say, God, you gave me a mind, and you gave me reasoning, and you gave me decision making, and this is what your word says, and if I do something different, I pay the price for that. I often say this word of God is not a tool to keep us bound. It is an instrument to keep us free, because God knows what we need. And if we'll follow the Word of God, it will bless every step we take, everything our hand touches, every word our mouth speaketh. God will honor and bless us by walking in His Word. David's acknowledging, Lord, I have sinned, and that sin is ever before me. Now we know what the blood of Jesus does. It washes away our sin. It erases our past. And when we really can wrap our minds around that, to think, God, all that I've done and all that I still do, your blood's enough to wash that away. It reminds us of how deep His love truly is for us. Because we fail God continually. Church, we fail Him. To think how holy God is. And to think of things in our lives that maybe now today you're involved in as a Christian that you know is not right. That has gotten a hold of your life, whether it's some kind of addiction, substance addiction, or maybe it's a sexual addiction, or maybe it's just something going on that nobody knows about but you and God. And you're battling that, and that's in that closet. And God is speaking to you to get that out and get it cleaned out and get it gone out of your life, because the more it stays there, the more it's going to clutter and accumulate until it chokes out the very room that you had for God. You know, you get to some points in your life and you're, if you're a pack rat, some of you may be pack rats, where there's no more space to put it. you ran out of space. The more we pack in the things of the world, a little bit here and a little bit here, we accept a little bit here. I remember, as young as I am, where TV shows never had a swear word in them. As young as I am, I mean, not even the H-E-L-L word, or I mean, nothing, no swear word. And now what do we do if we have a movie? Oh, it just says a few cuss words. It cusses 6 or 7 times. Not bad. Not bad compared to what? Compared to worse, right? You know, we don't show much, just showed a brief scene of nudity. It wasn't a big deal. Yeah, but remember when shows didn't show nothing? Covered, you actually had to do something. Don, if you wanted to have a visual fantasy back in the day, you had to imagine. I wonder what she really looked like. You didn't just see it. You had to have some imagination, didn't you? And now it's all there. And you know what it's done? It's taken away the beauty of God's creation. It's taken it away. I was watching a little Western last night. It come on, and they were getting a little stagecoach, and cowboy said, Malachi, I snickered, a cowboy said, you go get something. He said, you need to protect your umbrella. You go get some runaway ride to town. Do you remember a day when for a lady to be fair-skinned was a sign of a lady? Now it's all about being tan. We like tan. Who don't want to be tan, you know? I mean, I would love to be up here right now with the golden tan, copper tone from head to toe, brown as a stick in the woods. Be fine with me. But there was a day a lady didn't get tan. You know why? It was a sign that she wasn't a lady. That she was out doing manual, hard man kind of work outside in the field. Calloused hands. Oh, you're dainty. You're fair. But we've gotten into a whole society, haven't we? Where, just follow me here. Don't nobody get offended. Just hear the word. We've gotten into a society where women want to be like men. You know what frustrates me? I've worked with women that won't be treated like men, but they can't do everything a man can do. They kick me off. Will you come lift that up for me and carry that? You can't carry it? It's in a job description. Why can't you carry it? You want to be a man? Pick it up. Don't look at me like that. I'm just saying. I want to be like a man. And then we got men want to be like women. Oh, the new tea. Can I have a cup of tea? We've lost our identity because we've stopped following God's word. There is a place in Scripture and behavior that God expects men to be in and women to be in. And not one's better or over the other. They are equal roles in God's design. And you know what? It's always worked. I grew up with a mom that stayed home with me for most of my years. And my dad worked, went to plant every day, come home. And I had a mom at home, a dad that worked. A mom worked part-time, you know, around me. She didn't just leave me. She, except for that time in the nursery with Mo, I still got scars from that. But anyway, they tore that place down now, thank God. Remember that nursery at the corner of 115 and Chipley Ford at the very end? They've got a CVS built right there now. Used to be a little nursery there. I guess. I just didn't like it. They gave you a cone of water that big, and if you went and asked for more, she looked at you mean. Nah, you didn't have water. I hated that place. Mo and Louise, who ran it? I hated that place. I just hated it. We used to get lunch. You get a half a hamburger or a half a hot dog and a few fries. That was your lunch. A half. I'm wondering now if my parents only gave me half lunch money. I don't know. I only had half a sandwich. We were together for a while. I hated it. I used to trade my half a hamburger for someone else's. I give my fries away to get the other half a hamburger. I'll trade you my fries for the half of your sandwich. It was horrible. You had little tiny cones of water. And you ran around all day long as a kid. You're thirsty. Give me some water. You were scared because Mo looked at you mean. I'm sure she's a very sweet woman in real life. But when you're 4 years old and somebody named Mo won't give you water, I want to go home. Place is tore down now. But anyway, it's way off track. I'm going back. I've got some deep scars from the past. Still carrying those. But Anyway, there's a place for a man and a woman. And then see, our children follow that pattern. And see, we try to teach our children the role. I've got a son and two daughters. And I will be honored. I will be honored and so blessed if my two daughters turn out to be the woman Melanie is. Honored. Now, if David turned out to be like me, I'm not so sure how honored I'll be. But definitely my daughter to be like Melanie, I'll be honored. And so there's a place, and we've gotten away from that so much. We've let so much of the world dictate into our lives to get us away from God's Word. And so what happened with David, the story of David, you know, he got caught up with a woman he shouldn't have, committed adultery. Then he set Uriah up in the war to get killed because he got her pregnant. And then the baby died, and then here's David's a mess, and he just messed up. He's flat messed up. So now he's repenting. God, forgive me, wash me, clean my sin as ever before me. Verse 4, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. See, David's acknowledging, God, I've sinned against you. Here's where I think we got to get back to, church. We worry about everybody else. It's God we should worry about. God, I've sinned against you. Doesn't matter I got caught by my wife or by my children or by whoever. God, I've sinned against you. You know, the Bible says everything we do, we should do it as unto the Lord. And so God also says in the Word that His eyes behold all which is evil and good. So there's nothing that escapes the eyes of our Lord. And the first thought that we ought to have whenever we're in a situation we shouldn't be, we're in a cycle of sin or we're living a life that we know is not right, our first thought should be, God, I'm sinning against you first because you're my heavenly Father and I'm born again. Why am I doing this? God, I'm wrong and I'm sinning against you. We don't hear a lot about sin anymore. Church, I'm going to tell you, if you visit some other churches, I mean, talking about, you know, any kind of newer contemporary church, you're not going to hear a lot about sin anymore because people don't want to acknowledge that, you know what, there's things in my life that I need to get. And here's the beauty of it. This is not a condemnation message anymore. This is a message of love. Because once we get that burden lifted, once we feel the cleansing, I remember as a young person going to the altar many times through the years, carrying heavy weight, heavy burdens, things in my, you know, I felt guilty about because growing up as a Christian teenager, I didn't always succeed and I did things I was ashamed of. And I'd go to the altar. And I remember when I would leave the altar feeling so refreshed and so clean and so close to God again. Do you sense and feel that there's the devil is trying to put a divide and separate us from the presence of God? You almost feel that there's a divide trying to come in to separate us from feeling that intimate presence with God that we used to feel. Because there's so much distraction. There's so much stuff going on. We cannot allow that to happen. We must maintain our intimacy with God and not let the enemy take that away. There's a lot going on. We get too caught up in the computer age, too caught up in what everybody's been saying and whatever they're doing, and it distracts us from this Word of God. This Word of God will cleanse our soul and keep us in fellowship with God. There's nothing greater than being in fellowship with God. I'm talking about close fellowship with God. You wonder why maybe when you pray you don't feel what you used to feel, or when you pray you don't hear what you used to hear, or when you pray, you don't feel like God's answering like He used to answer. Or when you go into your chamber to pray, you don't feel that awesome Holy Ghost feeling you used to have. Here's what I suggest. You clean out the closet. And you say, God, there's no room for you in here no more. I've got too much junk in here. And I'm not allowing no room for you. It's time I clean out my house and I refresh myself. There's some things that are unchangeable in the Word of God. Unchangeable. One thing that's unchangeable is we are supposed to live for Christ, like Christ. That's never going to change. I don't care what church ever comes preaching, that was back then and this is not now, that we're frail and we're weak. God understands. Yes, He does. We are frail. We are weak. God does understand. But when we fail to go to Him for periodical cleansing, say, God, I mean, we clean our cars every, what, month, few weeks, month, couple months. We clean our houses out. We clean our offices out. We clean our closets out. We clean our pantry out or our refrigerator out. How can we do that? then how often do we clean our vessel? And you know what? You may not realize how much needs to come out until you get in His presence and begin to really pray. And then all of a sudden, God will begin to reveal things to you and begin to show you things. You'll begin to feel things out of your life releasing that's been bound so long. You know, there are things that get inside of you that lay dormant for so long that you almost lose the effect of feeling it. It's like a drug addict when they start out. You know, it takes more and more to get the same feeling. If they take this much one day, take that much the next day, and then for a few weeks, then they got to have a little bit more. They take that, a little bit more. You know, when Melanie was at Davis, she would have patients come in and they would, you know, need pain medication. And she'd be like, man, you wouldn't believe the guy I had or the girl I had. I mean, I gave them a vacation to kill a cow. And they were like, I still got pain. You know what that says? They have a high tolerance because they need so much to achieve that. If I've drunk 2 teaspoons and I have a NyQuil, church, I'm out like a light. And I'm feeling goofy and swimmy-headed and I'm feeling weird and I'm feeling like an out-of-body experience, you know, and I'm like floating. That's just a serving of NyQuil. Now, some of you had to drink 3 or 4 bottles of it to get that same effect. Because we learn to have a tolerance for things. We are in a slow boil as Christians, church. That after year after year that goes by, generation after generation that goes by, we are slowly boiling closer to destruction because we're accepting more things than we used to. We're allowing more into our lives. And here's the kicker. We justify it. It's okay. It's not okay. And that's where we got to come clean. It's like David's coming clean. David has no excuse before God here. He's making no excuse. He's saying, God, my sin is ever before me. Wash me, cleanse me from my iniquity. God, make me whole. I don't like the way that I feel. You know, carrying guilt is the worst thing we can carry. Carrying guilt. This is why the cross is so important, that it took our guilt from us, that we could rest in the grace of Jesus to say, God, you bore my guilt upon Calvary and took it away from me. My shame and my sin forever took away from me, that I don't have to walk in that guilt anymore. But what happens in life, we go through things that attach itself to us, and we go through seasons of failure. And there's things maybe even you're dealing with right now that you have flashes of that, and it won't let you go. And maybe you're involved in something now that you shouldn't be involved in, and it's got a hold of you, and you want to let it go, but you just can't seem to let it go. And I'm talking about you're saved. You're not lost. You're a Christian, but something got a hold of your life that's not quite right. How do we fix that? How do we get through that? How do we get delivered from that? We do what David did. We first of all acknowledge our sin. We acknowledge it. God, I have a problem. Or I have a stronghold. For God, I don't like who I am. I look at myself in the mirror, and I'm like, how did I get here? That wasn't who I was or even who I am now, but somehow I got here. We acknowledge it. We got to come clean and say, I have a problem. You know, Melanie made a great analogy. I'm not trying to pick on her, but she drew out a great analogy to tie into what I'm saying. She was looking at a picture of herself a few months ago. She told me, says, man, is that how I really? I don't see that. It's funny, isn't it, how we look in the mirror sometimes and we can so easily overlook our faults. I'm not saying it's getting fault. Well, we can overlook our flaws. You know, I look at my hair, and I'm like, I ain't that bad at all. But see, I'm only looking from the front. When you do this, oh my God! So I'm only looking at it one-dimensional. So I can get by with that. I look at it. I just don't look at the back no more. I don't look at myself from the aerial view. The first time I knew I was going bald was at Myrtle Beach. I'm in the hot tub below our balcony. Melanie's on the balcony about 4 floors up of the camcorder. She's zooming around the beach and she zooms in. And she, I don't know if I heard her voice, but she told me this. And I was like, is that me? And she zoomed in on top of my head. Spot about that big in the middle. That was me. That's when it all began. But you know what? I'm not Kojak. I still got some hair. God can very easily number them now, but I still got some. And so it's easy to look at ourselves and avoid our flaws. And like, how many of you have said this? We've all said this. You're going to the mall. You're walking to the mall somewhere, okay? So, and say you're a little bit overweight. You're walking to the mall. You see somebody. You look at your wife and say, man, glad I'm not that big, aren't you? But yet you're, you know, way overweight yourself. But it's easy to point that out, isn't it? I'm glad I'm not that big. For me, it's the, you know, it's the ball. He's bald, man. Now, like, yeah, you wouldn't know what that's about, would you? It's easy to point other faults out instead of acknowledging and saying, you know what? I've got faults, and I've got failures, and I need to work on me. And once we acknowledge that and we're honest with God, here's the thing that's so deceptive of the enemy. God knows what you're involved in right now. You're not fooling God. He knows exactly where you're at. In your heart, in your thoughts, in your actions, in your behavior, he knows exactly where you're at. So you're not deceiving God by not acknowledging it. It's sitting like court. We were standing before a natural judge. How you plead? Not guilty. You can't say that. You can't say that in front of God. Because he knows your guilt. He knows your shortcomings. He knows every failure that we're in now. And what we must do is acknowledge it and say, God, I want to be clean in you. None of us like feeling dirty. And as Christians, nobody here can tell me honest with a straight face, as a Christian, you've not felt dirty before. That you've not felt away from God. That you've not done things as a Christian that you felt so guilty for and so ashamed of. And the key is that we must go before God when that is happening. And confess. Say, Lord, I don't like the way I feel. I want to be right. I want that fellowship again. I want to be right. You know, it's like when you're mad at your spouse and you don't speak. You're still married. Feel just like your wife or husband. But you lost fellowship there for a little bit. Can you make up? You know? Until you say, I'm sorry. You know, until you say, you were right. You're always right. I'm always wrong. You win again. I'm nobody. I'm worthless. You're the queen of victory. Did I say all that out loud? I'm sorry. Anyway, until we make it right, we're out of fellowship. You ever try to talk to your wife when she's mad? It don't normally work very well, does it? Leave me alone. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to hear it. Leave me alone. So we have to. Cool off period. We come back. And we talk now. I can. So we lose that fellowship. Same thing with God. When we are out of God's will, when we are walking intentionally out of God's will for us, and we're involved in things that we know we shouldn't be, we're not in fellowship with God like we should. And so we don't pray like we should. We don't worship like we should. We don't talk like we should. You know what else we don't? We don't walk in the power and authority that we can. Because we feel good. I guarantee when David was going through this, the last thing in his mind was being king of Israel. It was being right with God. I want to be right with you. Kingdom's nothing. God, I want to know I'm still. David never lost his salvation to God, but he lost fellowship. Verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Isn't that true? God wants truth on the inward parts, church. He wants us to be honest on the inside of what we're going through and be honest. We can't hide it from him. We keep carrying things. He wants us to be honest with him in the inside. In the inward parts, he wants integrity. He wants honesty, holiness in our hearts. You know, bless you, you know why Jesus told the Pharisees that I never knew you, depart from me, workers of iniquity, when they said, God, we prophesied in your name, we healed in your name, we prayed in your name. He said, I never knew you. Because their heart never knew God. Only their head. Their heart never knew him because their heart never was changed. See, when your heart's changed, when you're really born again, your heart changed. The inward part of you changes, not just the outward part. When you really get born again, you don't go out just saying you're saved. You begin to live like you're saved. Because an inward transformation takes place. Your heart changes. The same desire you have to go party and drink and fornicate, whatever, you know, that desire to live in the world, all of a sudden God changes that. And now your desire to live for him. Because you had a heart change. God desires integrity in you. And David had that example. Purge me, verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Hyssop was an herb. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. When you're carrying guilt and shame, don't you feel broken? And you sure have no joy. You don't have no joy when you're walking in condemnation. You don't have no joy. Because all you see is the sin before you instead of the Savior that's in you. So what does David do? And he's praying, says, God, I'm asking you, make me clean. Wash me white as snow. I'm broken. My bones are broken. God, I want to be glad. I want to be joyful. I want to hear your voice. I want to know I'm okay again. It's a dangerous place to be when we stop feeling the presence of God. Isn't that a scary place to be? As Christians, that should never be. We should always be able to enter into His presence and feel His presence. But things the world will take that away, because we replace that presence of God with the presence of Him. Things that we sing are not very big. They're not big scenes. They're not big deals. This is the slow boil I'm talking about. Understand. I mean, Don's going to recognize if something walks in front of him and says, hey, I'm sin, and I'm going to destroy your life. But I look pretty good, don't I? You want a piece of me now? Go ahead and partake and eat of this tree, and you'll be destroyed. But you have fun doing it. Don's going to, he's going to recognize, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Sin is not that obvious. Sin is subtle. Sin goes step by step, inch by inch, deeper and deeper. And we find ourselves sometimes overtaken and don't remember how we've done it. How did I get to where I'm at? You know, I think if the alcoholic could go and take back the first drink, the drug addict go back and take out the first drug, the person that's bound by whatever you're bound by could go back in time and never have been there or never had done that or never had started that or never had flirted with that. See, flirting leads to fulfilling. We don't cut it off. It'll lead to fulfilling because flirting with something is close enough that you're in the presence of it. But if you keep doing it, it'll drag you deeper. That's what Samson did with Delilah. He flirted. He was flirting all that time until he finally got a decision. It led to fulfillment of his downfall. We can't flirt with the enemy. We can't flirt with the devil. We can't give him any kind of ground in our life. We can't give, you know, the Bible says not to give him any place. Resist the devil. Don't give him any place. How do we give the devil place? By allowing him into our lives instead of the Word of God into our lives. Let me finish this up. We'll close with verse 10. Verse 9. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The word right translates into steadfast. That changes the context a little bit, doesn't it? God created me a steadfast spirit. What does that mean? Steadfast for you. Constant for you. We hear steadfast, that means constant. It means consistent. It means ongoing. God created me a steadfast, a constant, ongoing spirit for you. Creating me a clean heart. There is so much music coming to our ears every day. It's choking out the sound of God. We must unplug all that noise and make time for God and say, Lord, I want to hear your voice and nobody else's. Turn off the radio in the morning on the way to work and just don't say, just listen. Don't even pray. Just listen. Just be quiet in the car and just think about the things of God and watch what will come into your spirit. God will drop things into your heart. But He's not going to scream over the noise. We make a decision. Do I listen to the noise of the world? Or do I listen to the voice of God? Which one am I?
Hardness in my heart. And I can't see the truth. wandering in the dark, I turn to you.
Drawing, church, listen to that. It's so drawing right now.
Here in your holy presence, it's all that I can do. I turn to you, Jesus. I turn to you, Lord. What else can I do?
Church, there's plenty of room at this altar this morning. There's plenty of room if you take that first step to say, here I am, Lord.
I turn to you.
I give it up. I surrender it all right now, God. I'm ready to be clean again.
For the faith to move ahead and to let go of the past.
Let go of the past. He's here to break that for you this morning.
And to see me as you do, I turn to you. And here in your holy presence, it's all that I can do. I turn to you.
His anointing
Jesus
is here right now, so strong in place.
I turn
Listen to that this
you,
morning. Listen to that and turn to the one
Lord,
that loves you more than you love yourself.
What else can I do?
He's got cleansing water for you today.
Jesus,
cleansing water to make you whole and make everything right today.
You
don't have to leave the way you came in. You don't have to leave heavy and burdened. You can leave free and clean today.
You alone are worthy, the one and only God, the ruler of the nations, Father of my heart. I turn to you, Jesus. I turn to you, Lord.
What else can I do,
Jesus? I turn to you. Help me turn to you. Help me turn to you. Help me turn to you.
There is healing here today, church. Do you want it? You want healing for what you're carrying. You want deliverance for what's got you bound. You want forgiveness for the darkness you've walked in. Do you just say, God, I just want to be in your presence again and feel clean and feel right. I want fellowship restored again. And here I come, honest, stripped naked before you, God. Say, here I am. You see all and you know all. And I'm tired of playing games. I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired of the deceit. God, here I stand before you. Wash me whole and make me new and cleanse me. Make me new again, God, that I leave here free from what shackled me all this time. I'm ready for your light to shine in my darkness. I'm ready for that, God. I'm ready to leave here different than I walked in these doors. And you are here for that. His presence is here for that, church. Will you get what God has for you? Get it today while His Spirit is moving.
When the cold wind starts to blow,
glory to God.
When I'm empty and alone,
Jesus.
I turn to you.
Jesus, I speak to every heart you're dealing with now that you will draw them, Father, into your presence.